these owners and these people don't care anymore. These cats are sharks, man. They don't give a damn. It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
I'm going straight to the top. To the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.
Yo, yo, what's going on, everybody? Mike here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast, coming at you once again. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, share. Wherever you watch and listen, you know, tell a friend and tell a friend to tell a friend. Check out the website. As always, stay up with the latest with me, sportsandtherealreal.tv. Appreciate y'all checking me out, as always. You know, just a few minutes of your day means a lot, so appreciate y'all checking me out. So let's get into it, y'all. So sports world, a lot going on. You know, tis the season for sports fan. World Series is on. Shohei Ohtani in game three is going bananas. This guy is ridiculous. And he's going to be pitching in game four. This guy's going crazy as a hitter in game three. And he's pitching in game four. This stuff is unbelievable, man. If you told us in 2025, there would actually be a cat pitching and throwing in the same, pitching and hitting in the same World Series, you'd be like, hell no. You wouldn't believe it. And it's crazy because, you know, we've watched guys in sports try to play two ways before. Heck, Travis Hunter's trying to play two ways in football, and he's not really great at it. They're trying to, you know, make him stick to offense in Jacksonville. But this cat, Shohei, is going both ways, and he's doing it great at a top-notch level. Listen, Barry Bonds, to me, is like the best baseball player I watched before and after steroids. Alex Rodriguez is up there as one of the best. Ken Griffey is one of the best baseball players I watched. This cat, Shohei Ohtani, is nasty work. He's sick. He's ridiculous, man. And he's clutch. He's clutch. World Series is going on. NBA just started. You know, football obviously still going on. So a lot of sports, but I did want to talk about some off the field stuff primarily this episode. First up, Doug Martin passed in police custody, and that is still under investigation. Exactly the details of how he died, obviously, it's still unknown. It's going to come out. Honestly, I don't trust the cops to tell the truth, so I don't know if the truth of the situation's really gonna get out. All right, I'm gonna put that out there. But Doug Martin passed, and I don't know if the NFL world, I don't know if NFL fans really care as much anymore when NFL players act out or they pass, you know, and it's clearly due to some kind of brain injury, CTE, whatever it is. It's become normalized now. Right, Antonio Brown makes fun of it, so fans make fun of it now. Right, this dude got CTE already. Chandler Jones, a couple years, was acting up on video. Like these guys, just you know, all the way going back to Junior Seau killing himself. Like these things just keep happening, and the more they happen, the more you know fans are just like, "Oh, it's just CTE. It's okay." And I don't know if we as fans, certainly the NFL, you know, the clubs, the owners, I'm not sure how much they really care about it, all right? It's something it seems like they've been forced to do. They've been forced, most of them have been forced, you know, to put money towards retired players and foundations and healthcare and things like that, right? It seems forced on the NFL owners. But fans, it seems like we've gotten so used to it, and it's almost become, in my opinion, it's almost become where CTE and NFL players passing or acting up after retirement, it's almost become like mass shootings in the United States. Like, it's like, okay, it happened again. Ho-hum. Right? Columbine. Ho-hum. You know, Columbine was really the beginning, actually. Right? At least for me. Columbine was the beginning of mass shootings, damn, and it was a big deal. And, you know, people thought they were going to be recurrences and, you know, we were scared. It was, what's next? Who's next? Where is next? But now every year it's another one. So we're like, ho-hum, to the point where, you know, recently, was it last year, you know, close to where I live, you know, it happened at one of the high schools here, and it was like, okay. They have these security, you know, systems, you know, for in schools now or whatever to catch, you know, hopefully catch that kind of stuff. But really, as Americans, like, we've become so used to mass shootings that they happen, you know, the news talks about it maybe for a day or so, day and a half, maybe, if that. And then we move on to something else, something less important. And this becomes the same way with football and players, you know, dying and acting up and psychosis and whatever the effects of CTE are, we seem to, it's not a big deal anymore. All right. We seem to be not necessarily okay with it, but it's like, it's part of the deal. Fans, NFL fans are almost at the point where they're like, they'll trade CTE and risking CTE for a couple $1 million. They think that is sweet. Right. NFL fans don't understand that when you get CTE, it's possible that these brain injuries, it's possible that you're not the same person. So all the money you made, you can't enjoy it because you're not the same person anymore. And you end up doing crazy stuff, and some of it you either end up hurting yourself or end up hurting your loved ones, or you're not the same person. And in Doug Martin's case, he ends up in a situation where his life gets taken prematurely. And as I'm reading the story about him, apparently, you know, he's been having these episodes, you know, for a while now, even dating as recently as this past August, August the 13th, I was reading. He checked himself into a rehab facility in California. They ran tests on him. He had coke and meth in his system. He had fentanyl in his person, like on him. He had a knife on him. The supervisor came in, you know, or whatever. And when the supervisor came in, they found him in the front driveway, like blood on his hands, and he was dancing. Clearly a psychosis episode. Turns out he had jumped out of the second floor window of the facility. They call the cops. The cops can't really talk to him or handcuff him. So they get into a situation, blah, 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 blah. So they have to put him on a 72-hour hold. That was August 13th. And then recently we find out last week that, you know, something or another happens. He goes into, you know, two doors down, neighbor's house, and, you know, cops get called and he dies in custody. So I don't know what the solution is. I'm a huge football fan, and I'm not going to lie. I feel hypocritical sometimes watching football, knowing the toll it takes on the players. I do. And somebody's going to say, well, don't watch then. And they're probably right. Don't watch then. But I love football. I love the sport. But I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, the effects of it, the after effects on the players don't cross my mind. Hell, the players who played football, it crosses their mind. And a lot of them won't let their kids, their sons, play football because of that. Like, they know the risks. They know what happens with all these brain injuries. And no matter what the NFL does, like, it's impossible to get rid of the brain injuries because the contact, your brain is always jostling. Like, these cats, you know, you see these guys wearing these guardian caps. These guardian caps don't do anything for concussions, like, in brain injuries. They don't do nothing. So no matter what you do, if you play football for an extended period of time, Aaron Hernandez, whether it's high school, you know, college, pro, you're going to have some brain injury. And for some people, that brain injury becomes really, really bad to the point where it costs them their lives or other people's lives. And I wish the NFL would take more care. The owners would take more care. They would, you know, fund the research additionally, like do whatever they got to do. And I know that they won't because these guys are sharks, man. They're dogs. They're out for blood every time. They want their money, bro, 100% of the time. So if a few players got to go down with CTE and they still make their money, they're going to do it. And they're not going to invest one penny more than they have to fund any kind of additional research or anything to protect the athlete. They're not. Unfortunately. So the players got to take care of themselves. Like I said, there's these programs, you know, post-retirement programs, these foundations. You know, they're actually asking fans to support these foundations. Like, dude, you got billionaire owners. What, you need fans to help support these foundations? But they're not going to do it. So the answer to help in this situation could be owners helping to fund additional research, fund additional protection, you know, healthcare services after these guys retire, like a lot more, better, whatever it is, right? And I'm not into the details. I'm not into the day in and day out operations of the NFL and what they're doing, but I know they can do more. Like if you read about what they have currently in place, it's cool, but they could do more. And the players are always fighting for more, not just more money, better, bigger percentage of the pie, but they're always fighting for more for after retirement. For healthcare services, because they're physically, their bodies are broken, bones, ligaments, whatever. But their minds, a lot of them, man, these guys, a lot of them just live as different people. So you make all this money, you think you're going to enjoy it, big houses, big cars, you know, whatever the lifestyle you think you're going to have, and then boom, you're the unlucky one who can't live like that because your brain is messed up. So again, I don't know how much fans really care. I mean, you know, people talked about Doug Martin in passing, but it's like, damn, another one. What do we do? So let's move on from there. All right. So gambling. I've talked about gambling on this show a couple times, several times. Had guests on to talk about it. And NFL doesn't care. All right. It's getting to the point where we as fans, we don't know what we're watching. We're not going to know. We're going to get to the point as fans of sports, we don't know what's real and what's fake. We'll just take it for what it is, right? It's a performance. It excites us. You know, if it's real cool, if it's not, oh well. It's going to get to the point where it's like we have no clue because it's so easily manipulated now. Terry Rozier can, you know, fake an injury. And then we don't find out about it until a couple years later. Like, we'll never know, right? Referees can, you know, participate in stuff. Tim Donahue can throw games, whatever it is. But we don't find out until a couple years later. So you're watching the NBA Finals. You're watching, you know, college sports, whatever it is, the NFL, whatever it is you're watching. But you probably don't really know if what's happening is true or not. If somebody leaves the game early, if it's real or not. If Anthony Edwards leaves the game and he has a hamstring strain, is he really hurt or... Steph Curry ankle bothering him. Is he hurt or? You sure? Oh, somebody's going to say, well, Steph ain't that type of cat. Ant got too much money, man. They're not going to do that. Really? Anybody can get caught up, bro. And I'm not saying, you know, Steph would ever do anything like that. But what I'm saying, I've lived long enough to know that anybody can do anything. I've seen it. So Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, Terry Rozier, you know, they all get caught up in this, you know, gambling scandal. And I don't know how they're all tied together, right? Apparently there's like some central figures that are, you know, part of both stories where Terry Rozier betting, or not betting on games, but Terry Rozier, you know, giving out information on injuries, on his injuries and pulling himself out of a game early when he was with the Hornets a couple years ago. Same figures are in the Damon Jones situation and Chauncey Billups situation. And Chauncey, I mean, listen, again, anybody can do anything, but Chauncey Billups looks like a stand-up cat, Hall of Famer, you know, and everybody who speaks out about Chauncey is like, yo, they trust Chauncey, like they trust Chauncey with their lives. And when you read the details, like most of it is like Chauncey Billups was really used like as like a they call it a face guard, right? So he's like a famous guy, you know, he's there. And these mob guys, you know, use him to entice other people to say, oh, Chauncey's here. You know, I'm a play a poker game with Chauncey. And this one episode was in Vegas where, you know, the victims lost 50K. But Chauncey's saying, hey, he's innocent. You know, the facts are going to come out sooner or later, blah, 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 right? To me, I don't know, right? I'm just reading what's out there right now. Most of it sounds like he didn't do much. He was just there. Even though there is one situation where they're saying that he received $50,000 payment for one of these situations, right? Like he got paid for participating in one of these games. I don't know, right? My only question for Chauncey is, how do you get involved with these types of cats, man? How do you get pulled in? He wasn't the coach of the Blazers at the time, right? So he wasn't rigging games. It was just this poker situation where essentially, listen, man. Listen, we talk about technology moving up, you know, robots and AI and cars driving by themselves and all these things. These cats have technology where you wear special contact lenses and you can see, you know, specific things on a card. These guys essentially created technology to turn dudes into cyclops. And we talking about self-driving cars. That's cool and all. AI is cool and all, but these mob bosses apparently figured out how to turn dudes into cyclops to see through things, man. Have special vision. Like they had card shuffling machines that were all rigged, like table. Like the whole thing was like a movie, bro. Like Ocean 11 type of stuff. Unbelievable. So my question is for Chauncey, how do you get involved in that, man? Stand-up cat. Everyone says he's a stand-up guy. You know, he claims he's innocent. Everybody's going to say they're innocent, and I'm not saying he's not. But how does Chauncey get involved with that, man? So that's my only thing with Chauncey, right? He wasn't betting on games, but how do you get involved with that? Now, Damon Jones, on the other hand, Damon Jones was essentially, like, this one's the biggest one of all, right? They got him text messages from him telling, you know, cats, hey, LeBron's not playing today. AD's not playing today. You know, whatever. Right? Bet this, bet that. And apparently he was in financial trouble. So, you know, when he was, you know, making these deals or whatever, he was getting advances. Like, yo, you know, let me get 10K ahead of time or whatever for this money that you're about to make. Like, Damon Jones is in some trouble. I don't know about Chauncey just yet. But Damon Jones, if the allegations are true, he's in real trouble because they got text messages from this cat. Terry Rozier, yet to be seen. Again, supposedly he checked himself out early in the game because claiming injury, but then all these prop bets came in, you know, for the unders, right, for him. Who knows? He's claiming he's innocent as well. He's claiming he don't gamble. I don't know. But the sports leagues have a problem, but they're never going to address it because, again, these owners, these people associated with these sports leagues will do anything for a dollar, man. And there's a saying that not all money is good money. To these millionaires and billionaires of these sports leagues, yes, it is. Yes, it is. If I have to, you know, risk, you know, a few college students using their loan money and people using their life savings and committing suicide and becoming alcoholics for a few extra dollars, I'm going to do it. These owners and these people don't care anymore. These cats are sharks, man. They don't give a damn. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. It really is. So as fans, you know, most fans probably don't even care anyway. Right, I count myself as one of the people who probably care a little bit too much about this stuff. Maybe I shouldn't care. Most fans don't care because most fans is like, hey, if I'm trying to hit this parlay, bro, make $50, $100, I'm cool. So as long as a couple of fans are making $1,500, they're cool. They don't. They're not looking at the big picture, man. The overall impact, potentially the impact on society. They don't see that. As I'm reading this stuff and these stories about, you know, people becoming alcoholics and people committing suicides, people about to commit suicide, like that stuff is real. But the leagues don't care. They just want the money, bro. So as you're reading this story, you're like, Adam Silver, listen, NBA is going on. You're watching a game. Somebody checks themselves out. They don't feel good today. Do they? They don't feel good? Or they're about to, you know, tell somebody to hit this parlay real quick, hit the unders. Somebody's breaking shots. I talked about this before. Somebody's missing shots. Are they really having an off night? How do you know? How do you know when somebody's really hurt? Or because the stories don't come out until 3-4 years later when the investigation happens. How do you ever know? And this chick is such hypocrisy, man. So as I'm scrolling, I'm checking CNBC, you know, checking some money stuff on CNBC. And it's like one story after another, right? Not even like two thumb scroll separation. One story is saying, hey, you know, NBA scandal, Chauncey Billups, blah, 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 blah. And then not no more than two thumb scrolls later, right? The NBA's mega deal with sports books or whatever. I'm like, come on, man. Come on, dog. Like, that's such hypocrisy, bro. It's on one hand, you know, CNBC's talking about big old scandal, gambling, how it's going to impact sports and, you know, how these guys are in trouble, what the sports leagues can do about it. On the other hand, sports leagues are like, look, man, we're going to make this money, bro. Get out my way. We're trying to make this money. You in or you out? It's unbelievable. So maybe I shouldn't care. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too nice. I like money, but there's a point where you're like, damn, what am I doing? Like, the integrity of my sport is in question. Adam Silver, the integrity of the NBA is in question. Roger Goodell, the integrity of the NFL is in question. So now it's not just, hey, you can't bet on games. Now it's, you could give insider information at any time. And if you're one of these players, you know, who don't care, like, it doesn't matter how much money you make. Like, Damon Jones made pretty good money in his NBA career. I would hope, you know, didn't use all his money, but clearly he did if he's asking for advances. But the point is, these cats make a lot of money. A lot of them spend all of their money and they end up getting caught up. And the mob is right there. Hey, man, we can hook you up. Easy peasy. Make a quick 50. Just tell us who's out. Or check yourself out of the game. Let us hit a couple hundred. We'll split it. You straight. Sports leagues have a problem. They're not going to admit it. They could put in whatever checks they want. The cats who want to be dirty are going to be dirty. Access is too easy now. Everything is online. Very little regulations. It's going to get worse. Unfortunately, it's not going to stay in the news cycle for too long. Most podcasts ain't going to spend too much time talking about it. Not from this angle. They'll make fun of it. They'll clown Chauncey Billups. They'll clown Damon Jones. Or, you know, they'll take the approach, oh, man, you guys should know better. But nobody's going to say, hey, man, what the hell are the leagues doing? Why? Because those sports books pay their bills. They pay the leagues who pay them. Or they pay the podcast directly. FanDuel. ESPN Bet, like all these companies, they're bought out. They're paid for. So what are they going to do? They have no choice. That's unfortunate, man. That's unfortunate. It's literally like the hypocrisy is crazy. As I'm scrolling, I couldn't believe it. One headline is, hey, man, Chauncey Billups, big name guy, you know, in trouble. A couple scrolls later, oh, yeah, NBA is making a lot of money from this, from sports books. Ridiculous. Tough. I hope Chauncey's right. I hope he doesn't, you know, I hope the truth comes out. Probably set up. It could be the Blazers setting Chauncey up, man. Blazers' record has been terrible with Chauncey. They're trying to get rid of him. They're like, man, look, let's frame this cat. But in all seriousness, that's crazy, man. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let's talk about on the court, on the field happenings real quick. NBA. Cooper Flagg is going to be okay. First game struggled a bit. Jason Kidd tried to get him to run the PG. And I hope this is a lesson for all NBA coaches who try to have random people, like just because they're tall, think they could run point guard. Like they think, coaches think, well, anybody can be Scottie Pippen and run the point guard like he did for the Bulls. Or anybody can be LeBron, right? Run the point guard and be a scorer, like the dual threat guy. Nah, man. Not everybody is like that. Like, Houston tried that with the big lineup with Fred VanVleet out with the ACL tear. You need an actual point guard, somebody. Now, LeBron is different, right? LeBron is an actual, has actual point guard mindset, so he's different. But coaches just think, hey, man, I'm going to just roll the ball out and, you know, you're tall, you can be the point guard, like Luka. Nah, man, not everyone who's 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", who can dribble can actually play the point guard and get theirs. LeBron is special. Luka is special. It's only a few of these cats who can actually be that tall guard. So that point forward you're looking for, Dallas Mavericks, don't do that again with Cooper Flagg if you want him to reach his potential, Jason Kidd. Don't do that, bro. You had people watching that first game like, damn, Cooper Flagg a bust? No, they was trying to make him play PG. That ain't him. But I think Cooper's going to be all right. He's a natural. His shot is natural. His game, his handle is natural. He plays smart. He plays fundamental. I really like the way he plays. I don't know what his ceiling is, right? We've been talking about him since he was like middle school or whatever. I don't know, right? People get hyped up all the time, but he's going to be a really, really good player in the league. He plays hard. He plays defense. He hustles, right? All the things you look for to say, okay, this cat got the foundation right, the basics right. You could build from there. And his talent is elite. He got elite potential. So we'll see where he goes. Now, for Houston's case, by the way, Dallas has a point guard on their roster, right? They don't have to struggle with somebody like Reed Shepard, you know, forcing him to, who's not a starter, right? Like Houston. Houston's got a bigger problem because Dallas has Kyrie coming back. They got D'Angelo, right, who's starting right now. They'll be fine, I think, if Kyrie ever comes back. I think they'll be fine. Houston might need to go out and get somebody like Jrue Holiday, who's out there in Portland right now. They got Aaron Holiday, Drew's brother, but I don't think he's a starter. He can't be a long-term starter. Reed Shepard definitely is not a long-term point guard starter in the league. They tried this Amen Thompson stuff for game one. Clearly, Amen Thompson ain't no PG. Like, he was getting pressed up and down the court. They scored a lot of points against the Thunder, but that's not going to last 82 games. So they need a real PG. I don't know how they would make it work. I'm just throwing names out. Jrue Holiday would be somebody I would look at since he's going to be on the Blazers. The Blazers aren't going to be good. So this no PG idea, this anybody can play point guard, this I don't need a point guard, I'm going to let this tall guy try to be a point forward. Y'all could throw that idea in the trash. Very few cats have the ability to do that. Very few guys have the ability to do the LeBron. I can lead my team in assists and set everybody up, and I could be the head of the snake and go score when I want to. That Luka, LeBron, heck, the Joker takes on that role sometime. Very few guys can do that. The IQ it takes, you know, when to go, when to back off, the skill it takes, like, it's different, bro. It's different. This combo guard thing, want to be point guard, I'm tall, 6'7", because I can dribble a little bit, I'm going to be a PG. Don't do that. Jason Kidd, don't do that to Cooper Flagg, because you're going to ruin this cat for real. And if Houston thinks they're going to do that with Amen Thompson all year, this super big lineup they got out there, forget about it. They need to get rid of, they got a bunch of big men on their team. Clint Capella, maybe trade Clint Capella for Drew Holiday. I don't know. Some kind of package. They got to get a real PG out there if Fred VanVleet's going to be out all year with the ACL. All right. So that was quick NBA hits. NFL. Not much to say about the NFL. Status quo. What I'm going to say is this. The Steelers' defense sucks right now. They're like 30th in the league. And I talked about the Ravens defense being trash. What's up with the AFC North defense? Like, everybody's defense is trash except for Cleveland, but Cleveland's offense sucks. Cleveland got the best defense and the worst record in the division. Ain't that something? So the Steelers defense sucks. They're 30th in the NFL. They got the most expensive defense. Jalen Ramsey got picked up. Darius Slay picked up, highly paid. TJ Watt, highly paid. The problem is, right, they still got Cam Hayward and Highsmith. Like, they got dudes, but I feel like the Steelers defense is just a bunch of names at this point. A bunch of old heads, just a bunch of names. And at this point, I know a lot of Steelers fans have been wanting to get rid of Mike T for a long time. And I've been saying, the grass ain't greener on the other side. But Mike Tomlin has been able to blame his offense for the last several years. You know, once Ben Roethlisberger got old, they didn't really have a quarterback afterwards. They've gone through young quarterbacks who didn't work, vets who, you know, were not good, and Russell Wilson. But you can't blame the offense this year because Aaron Rodgers is balling. Aaron Rodgers throwing 3-4 touchdowns a game. He's looking like old Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Aaron Rodgers. So if the Steelers can't blame the offense, and you have to blame the defense, and defense is supposed to be Mike Tomlin's specialty, I don't have any more excuses for Mike Tomlin, man. So if the fans say, hey, man, look, what's going on here, coach? They might be right. Steelers fans are going to be right this time to say, hey, man, if we finish 8-9 again, 9-8 mid-tier again, with the offense playing like this and defense is the one holding us back, they have a right to look at the coach now. And I'm not saying to fire Mike Tomlin. I'm not saying that at all, because it's going to be hard to find somebody better than him. But they have a right to question what they're seeing on the field, because the offense is balling and your defense is giving up 30-something points to Joe Flacco easy. And your defense is, you know, making, you know, who they play, Jordan Love, you know, look like Aaron Rodgers, old Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. They couldn't stop him. So Mike Tomlin's going to have to step up, or once again, he probably doesn't care, right? The standard is a standard guy. You know, he has his catchphrases or whatever. He doesn't care. But he's going to have to respond to something. Why is your defense lacking? All right, last thing, and I'm going to get out of here. The Cleveland Browns suck. Their offense sucks. Their defense is great. As I said, their offense sucks. And Dillon Gabriel is a starter, but as I'm watching Dillon Gabriel, man, he gives me Tua vibes, but even a lesser version of Tua. Like, arm strength ain't there. His passes all seem like they're lobbed. And I'm like, does Cleveland need to just go straight to Shadur at this point? Shadur clearly has way more upside. And I don't know what practices look like. I don't know if Shadur even gets reps at practice. I have no clue. I don't follow the Browns. But if I'm a Browns fan, I'm like, we're not going to win anything this year. Dillon Gabriel's peak really, like, he's topped off. All right? He's not going to transform into some great quarterback. His arm strength ain't going to improve now. It is what it is. Why not go with Shadur to see what he got? See what he got in live action. Maybe he can make some plays. Who knows? But at this point, the Cleveland Browns have nothing to lose. Myles Garrett is getting 5 sacks in a game, and they're taking the L. Like, your Dillon Gabriel, like, he's maxed out his potential, man. All right? He might be a career backup. Who knows? But as I'm watching Dillon Gabriel as a Miami Dolphins fan, I'm like, damn, this brother throws the ball like Tua, but worse. Even less arm strength than Tua. Less accuracy than Tua. Less anticipation than Tua. So as a Browns fan, you know what you got. You know he ain't gonna turn into, I don't know, a legit starting QB. Shador's right there, man. Take the chance. See what you got. If he balls out, you got your QB. If he don't, you know the two that you got right now, ain't it? You're about to be picking high. You're about to be picking high anyway in the draft. Find somebody else. Because right now that defense has been great for a couple years now, but you've been wasting it. Either on old quarterbacks, Flacco, or these young cats who really ain't it. So Cleveland Browns, take my advice. Go ahead and make the change now. Start Shadur. Give him the rest of the season. See what he got. His arm is stronger. He's mobile. You know, maybe he's a playmaker. Maybe he's just a gamer. Yeah, you don't like his attitude, his personality. You know, he's the son of Deion. What do you expect? He's a little flashy, showboat. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a little bit disrespectful at times. It's Deion's kid. What did you expect? But I say give Shadur a shot, because Dillon Gabriel ain't, he's maxed out, bro. I'll say it again. Dillon Gabriel's talent has maxed out. And give the guy with more potential a chance. See what he got. And maybe he's got something there. If not, you're drafting high next year. Find somebody else. But Myles Garrett gotta be like, damn, bro, like, what am I doing all this for? Because they're not gonna win. They ain't going to win. All right. That's all I got for this week, y'all. Appreciate y'all hanging out. You know, I get into these episodes sometimes. Not much to talk about on the field. A lot of off the field stuff, which, you know, as a person, right, sometimes you got to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. But we'll be back next time. I'm going to catch you guys, as always. Sports in the Real. Like, subscribe, share. I'll holla at y'all. Have a good week. Y'all be good. Sports in the Real. Bye. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.